ever noticed how outside of the Bible and the Big Lebowski, no one ever really abides, right? It's like Jesus and the dude are the only ones who use that verb. Sadly, I did not have the time this week to rewatch the Big Lebowski, so that is the only Big Lebowski joke, but I encourage you to laugh at it and to enjoy the film in your own time. Anyway, both Jesus and the dude really like this word, right? Or at least John the Evangelist used it a whole lot. According to renowned biblical scholar Dr. Google, John uses the word abide, which is the Greek word meno, over 40 times in his gospel. And in the Johannine epistles, which is 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it's used almost 30 times. Remarkable because those are fairly short. Together, that's over half of the times that the word appears in the entire New Testament, which of course is the four Gospels, Acts, 21 letters, and Revelation. It's clear that this word is deeply meaningful to John, that for him it captures something of the essence of life with Jesus. It's always used in the sense of abiding in or abiding with. You don't just abide by yourself, but with or in someone else. In today's epistle, God's love abides in those who do God's will, and we abide in God when we obey God's commandments. So what does abiding mean in this context? One commentator, not Dr. Google, but another commentator I heard this week, pointed out that many of us have actually had the experience of abiding without labeling it as such, because it's such a weird verb. Think about the friend that you have known deep enough and well enough to call at all hours of the day or night. Better yet, a friend who you can just sit in silence with, or who will join you on the most mundane errands you have to do, just because they love you and they want to spend time with you. That sense of just being together and that being enough, that is abiding. Or think about your spouse or partner, someone you have loved so deeply and been so loved by that you really start being yourself, your truest self around them. The commentator talked about the moment where you stop wearing the nice pajamas to bed and you start wearing the clean or the clean-ish pajamas to bed as you curl up next to this person after a long day. That sense of letting your guard down, of the guard being completely unnecessary, that sense that just being yourself is being enough, that is abiding. Abiding comes with a sense of intimacy and familiarity. And for me, this is the feeling that Psalm 23 evokes. It's not so much a sense of ease, or it is a sense of ease and comfort, but it's not this like superficial coziness. It's not a light, easy breeziness, but it's deep, a grounded sense of knowing and being known, to the point where we are comforted by God's rod and staff, which could be symbols of punishment or destruction, but knowing that they will be used for our good. That's how deep the trust in that relationship is. It comes with the knowledge that there is nothing, right? This is what Psalm 23 is really about. Nothing, no enemy, not even death, which can sever that bond or separate us from God's care. That is abiding. Abiding is another way you could translate the last line of the psalm, abiding in God's house forever. To abide with and in someone is not just to live alongside them, but to really do life together in a meaningful and intimate way. And it's this kind of relationship that John depicts Jesus having with us, or at least Jesus wanting to have with us. The kind of relationship which, as today's gospel passage puts it, we belong to Jesus, and we know him so deeply that we can pick out his voice among the host of others competing for airtime. This is what churches mean, or at least what I mean, when I say that I want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I want you to have the kind of relationship depicted in Psalm 23, which to me also feels like a really good, deep hug from someone you love on a bad day. The kind of hug you can really lean into. I'm talking about, like, you ever hug somebody and you just put your whole body weight on them because you know that they can take it? That kind of hug, that's the feeling we get from Psalm 23. And the thing is, the hug does not make the bad day go away, and it doesn't mean that tomorrow is going to be any easier, but it means that you're not facing today alone. You're not facing tomorrow alone. You never will be alone in your bad days. It means you are deeply known and understood beyond the level of mere language. Being known and being held like that, that is abiding. And that is exactly what Jesus wants to have with you. Jesus wants you to have that not simply because it feels good, although it does, or not simply because it makes great poetry, although, again, Psalm 23, it does, but because abiding like this is a way of being in the world. It is a way of navigating the world, a way of acting in the world, 1 John says, right? Laying down our concerns to meet others where and with what they need. It's also a way of making choices, as the Gospel of John says. The churchy word for this is discernment, right? But it's a way of making choices because we learn which voices to pay attention to and which to just move past. It's necessary, right? Because the scary truth is there are a lot of bad shepherds out there and a lot of hired hands. There are lots of people who will tell you that they have the words or they speak in the voice of Jesus, and they will sell it and package it up for you to suit their own agenda. My prayer for you and for the whole world is that we will come to know the difference between the good shepherd and the bad. The difference means abiding in and with Jesus and letting him abide in and with you. It starts by spending time with him in whatever way works for you, right? Be it prayer, meditation, reading scripture, moving your body, or making art. Having this be a part of your everyday routine. You're just living. It's not a personal relationship with Jesus unless it's personal. And as much as it's about knowing Jesus, it is also about letting Jesus know you. Again, taking off the nice pajamas, the false front, getting comfortable with the skin that you are in and knowing that you need no other. Because that is what Jesus wants to abide in. Your life, the life you already are living, the real you, the you you already are. That is what Jesus already knows and already loves. Abiding in that love, again, is ultimately what allows us to change how we move and how we act in the world. It allows us to know that love so that we can share that love, show it, and make it more visible in this world. All of that, that abiding, that choosing, that deciding, that being God's love, that is really what John talks about when he talks about the life abundant. The life abundant is what Jesus wants for you. That is the life that the voice is Jesus is calling us to. And is that not, my friends, is that not a voice worth following? Amen.